This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update.
Wisconsin lawmakers are passing a bill that would require public schools to ban students from using cell phones in classrooms. Supporters like Republican State Senator Rachel Cabal Cabrera say that will help students focus.
When we look at polls, 97% of children will utilize their phone at least once a day within the classroom.
Democratic State Senator Melissa Radcliffe worries about communication during emergencies.
Would be a dangerous step backward in ensuring the immediate safety of our children, especially in the wake of recent horrific shootings and crises.
Most school districts across the state have already implemented some form of a cell phone restriction. The bill now heads to the governor's desk. It's an effort to revamp and renovate correctional facilities in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers is asking for the State Building Commission to release $15 million for the state budget to help state-run prisons. The release of the funding would help close down Green Bay Correctional Institution, Copper Lake, and Lincoln Hill schools. The funding would also help with the development of adding space to other state facilities and help establish vocational programs for inmates nearing their release date. The State Building Commission plans to meet on October 28th. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has paused abortion services at the Milwaukee, Sheboygan, and Madison locations due to the Big Beautiful Bill. OBGYN and former congressional candidate Dr. Kristen Leary says this.
Family planning, it's STI screening for sexually transmitted infections, it's contraception, it's cancer screening, it's preventive care, so much other stuff. The way that the bill was written would take down Planned Parenthood clinics all across the country. And we don't want our patients who need all of these other services, who rely on these other services.
About 4% of Planned Parenthood services are abortions. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris continues on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot but, of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Got it? Good. So, all I can say is
number 5.
Okay. Woo! I was about to panic. Like, wait a minute. I hit it again. I only hit it once. Anyway. But that sounded more dramatic, didn't it? So, Brewers, what are we doing? All I hear, we're down, but we're not out. I know they're hoping for a comeback. I think the only thing they're gonna come back to is Milwaukee.
Well, no, I have to. Yeah, I have to eat my words. I did not.
You was talking trash. I wasn't trash. Hey, don't mess up my. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. Now they're gonna come back. They're gonna be great.
What happened
to that glitter hat? Where your glitter hat?
Yeah, that's at home. It's in the back of the closet for a little while. I need to see them win a game first. No, I I have to go back on my words. I thought that there was no way that they could get another performance like that out of a pitcher. And that performance was twice as good as the one that Blake Snell had game one. So things are looking bleak. According to history as well, only 15 teams in the history of the MLB have come back from down 2-0.
They have the largest payroll in baseball.
Them boys good. They're good at baseball.
The largest payroll in baseball.
Yeah. It would have been very good to see them win at least one at home, and now they go to the West Coast for three games. And hopefully we get to see what would be a deciding game six at home.
The largest payroll in baseball. That's all I got.
You think money buys wins?
The largest payroll used to be the New York Yankees. How many have they won? The largest payroll.
26 or 27, actually, correction. Actually, wait, no, 26. What am I talking about?
I'm just saying. Okay. Oh, we can compete. Okay. When the Packers put money in their payroll and got Reggie White and all those players, what did they win? Two Super Bowls. When they got cheap, we got ticket sales now. We can. They went mediocre, and now they got it.
It's just hard. The franchise has never been known to spend that much money in that, or I guess for that time frame.
Then you're not going
to
win.
That's the thing. Nowadays, you have to pay players who are generational talents. You have to sign 12-year, $120, if not $200 million. And the Brewers would rather spread that out and kind of get guys from the farm system, which they've done, and it works. But
clearly, it's not.
It hasn't gotten you over the hump, though. That's right. The thing. So right.
I remember this team that they dumped all this money in. And they played baseball, and they were out of Florida. And this team that they said, man, it's not going to be. And he said, I want the best players I can possibly get. And he did the opposite of what a new team did. And year two, they won what? The World Series. We had this other football team that came out of nowhere and did the same thing. Out of nowhere. Put the money in the payroll. Boom. Won a Super Bowl. Hadn't won since. But, and so we're starting to see a pattern through all these sports that if you don't spend the money, it doesn't matter how good your bullpen is or how good your bats are. They paid for consistent bullpen and consistent bats to the point where the reliever could come in inning three, finish the game, and pitch more innings than the guy that started and win.
Or half the time, they have a two-run lead going into, you know, late rounds of the game.
Going into the bottom of the first.
Yeah.
I just.
Yeah. It looks bleak. It does look very bleak. But if anyone can do it, it's this team. Again, this is a team that defeated them six times in the regular season. It doesn't matter right now. But they have some type of recipe or film I guess, to kind of study. I'm trying to be a little optimistic.
Here it comes.
Just work with me here.
Here it comes. There it is.
You're flying the L, that's crazy.
I did that yesterday and you told me I was wrong. I did that the first day you told me I was wrong. So what are we doing?
You might be the bad luck charm here.
I'm not the bad luck charm. I know how to call it. Now, here's what I predict. The Brewers will only win one out of three.
I could see them winning the next two. I could see them winning the next two and losing the last one in LA. I think that's the most realistic, I guess, kind of outtake or aspect of this. I don't know if the Dodgers have any more good arms to use for the next couple of days. They've got some guys that they can rest. They can give their bullpen, you know, a breather, so to speak. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they drop two at home and they have another one to bank on where they can go all out.
Let me tell you what the Dodgers are thinking about doing. Win the first two, lose one, then win. And they're done.
Well, it's not even that. One of the things that people need to think about, too, Ohtani's going to be on that mound for one of these games.
Right.
Which is terrifying.
Which is probably game four. Because it'll be a must win. And it's a must win for them if they lose the third game. And it's a must win for them if they win the third game. So either way,
They say pressure makes diamonds, so.
Smoke is coming.
Yeah, we'll see.
They bring in all the smoke. We taking any back to L.A.? I don't think so. I hope they do. I think it is an absolute. The problem is this team right now can't do better next year than they do this year.
And that's the most terrifying part.
And, and that's the problem.
Yeah. Where does the team go from here?
Right. Because if you don't get one more big league picture and two bats, you're never going to do it. You got some players that are just there. And I know they start and I know they play, but you know what? If you can't hit the ball, dude, none of that matters. So, all right. Oh, well. Thank you much.
As always.
As always. As always, wait a minute. That's not right. As always?
Appreciate it.
As always, you said that they was going to win.
Oh, there you go.
Number four.
From CBS 58, Governor Evers sent a letter to the Trump administration today to advise them against terminating more than $1.5 billion in U.S. Department of Energy awards that have been awarded. And reportedly, they've been designated for Wisconsin-based companies and organizations. In a letter to Energy Secretary Chris Wright, he said ending the awards would be counterintuitive, reckless, and ill-advised amid record energy demand and rising costs. So the letter follows reports that more than 600 Department of Energy projects nationwide could be revoked. Are they revoked or they're just not being paid? I don't think they're revoked. They're not taking them back. The governor said cutting the programs could raise annual household energy costs by about $300 by 2035. From that list, awards to Wisconsin-based companies and organizations or projects located partially or fully in Wisconsin total over $1.5 billion alone. He said, I'm urging you to reaffirm their commitment. We're not sending out any money, Governor Evers. Did anybody wake him up and tell him that the government shut down? I don't think so.
Number three.
From JS Online, Wisconsin is ranked, you ready? Among the worst in the country for college affordability. That's according to a new report. The National College Attainment Network, a nonprofit aimed at improving student access for higher education, has calculated each state's affordability gap for nearly a decade. It compares the cost of attendance at each institution to what the average student and family can pay. I don't know if that's a good comparison, but the organization's latest annual report based on 2022-2023 data found none of Wisconsin's four-year public universities and just two of the state's technical colleges were actually affordable. Only four other states ranked lower in their share of schools being unaffordable. That's Delaware, but then I can't imagine why you want to go to school in Delaware, unless you want to go to Delaware State. New Hampshire, another one of those states where why do you want to go? If you trip, you'll fall out of state. North Dakota, there's nobody there but military. And Rhode Island, I just came from there. I don't ever want to go back to Rhode Island. The organization suggested expanding a need-based tuition promise program as among the best solutions to address affordability in Wisconsin. Can I raise my hand? Hello? Can I raise my hand? Who's going to pay for that? Is the state going to pay for it? Yeah, good luck with that. To estimate student costs, the author pulled each school's published cost of attendance, including tuition, fees, housing, and other costs, and then she added $300 for emergencies. See, here's the problem. The author added how much for emergencies? You can't buy gas for $300 in a month. You couldn't get $300. You could drive maybe what? One state, maybe two. But that's all you could do. So at some point, we have to look at that. The average affordability gap for students attending four-year public universities is $3,549, and that's more than twice the national average.
Number two.
Speaking of school, they're shut down, but we still got to do the FAFSA because it's October. The Department of Education has opened the FAFSA for 2026-2027, assuring student applications will still be processed. That is what I wanted you to know. That came from Fox6Now.com. I want to say thank you to them. So if you plan to go to college, you can go to the FAFSA website and make sure you complete your information.
Number one.
From News1.com, 29 years ago, is that right? Or is it 49 years ago? I can't add. Doesn't matter. This is the 59th, my bad, 59th anniversary of the founding of the Black Panther Party. And we remember those who paved the way before us, put words into actions, and demonstrated what the reality of community-based support and protection actually looks like. As one of the most storied African-American groups in the turbulent late 1960s, Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, commonly known as the Black Panthers, stood not only for its militant appearance, but also for its work in impoverished neighborhoods. As students at Oakland's Merritt College, formerly Oakland City College, Huey Newton and Bobby Seale were inspired by the teachings of Malcolm X, who was slain just a year before the party began. Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, growing tired of police brutality and other injustices against Black Americans, formed the Panther Party on this day, October 15th, 1966.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Two, three into the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door, ready to make an entrance, so back on up,
cause you know we're about to rip it up.
Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Compton and Long Beach together, now you know you in trouble. Ain't nothing but a G thing, baby. Too low depth, throw it crazy. Death Row is the label that pays me.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. I have a very, 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 can I say very enough? Very, very special guest, because this is, well, I guess I can say because you've been with me from the start. 1MKE, I have the pleasure of having Miss Maddie Day.
Hello.
In studio. How are you?
I'm doing really good.
And so 1MKE is a proud sponsor of Truth Summit, and you know, when I heard about it year one, you know, yeah, they want to be here. And I don't even think you all were thought about in the beginning. And then all of a sudden somebody said, yeah, well, 1MKE wants to come in and, you know, they want a table. I was like, ah, that's great. Cool. Well, 1MKE said, can they do some other stuff and get some stuff away? And I was like, well, okay, absolutely. Well, 1MKE said, can they just sponsor it? I was like, absolutely. And then I went. And I went to the table and I looked at some of the things you do and some of the powerful inroads you've made into the city of Milwaukee. So what I want you to do is first tell everybody, what is 1MKE?
Yeah, so 1MKE is all about building civic engagement in the city of Milwaukee. That can sound really vague, I feel like, a lot of times. So we're trying to say that it's connecting people to resources and benefits that they could use to benefit their lives. It's connecting people to their community, and it's also connecting people to their local government. So not just getting people out to vote during election times, but also making sure you know your alderperson, making sure you know when your city budget hearing is, which is just coming up and now is in the talks right now.
Yeah.
Making sure you know who to talk to when you have a problem, really being like aware that the city's here to work for you. So you got to tell them what's going on in order for them to help you.
So when you say the city is here to work for us, what's the connection? Because you kind of, you're, other than 911, you're pretty much the 1-1 for everything in the city of Milwaukee. Are you a nonprofit or are you a city agency? Because it sounds like you're kind of on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. So technically, we're a coalition. So it's kind of weird, but we're technically nothing. We're not a for-profit. We're not a nonprofit.
Okay.
We're not a government agency. We're a group of local businesses and nonprofits and government agencies in the city that want to see more people get connected, like I said, with all those things before, then more civically engaged.
And so if I have an issue and I don't know what to do with it, or I just don't know where to start, I could come to 1MKE because that's where you can point me in the direction I need to be. But it kind of sounds like I can send you where you need to go.
Yeah. So there's a couple of ways that 1MKE works. You know, we're still very new. So I like to say we're in like our learning and growing phase. We're trying to talk to as many nonprofit organizations and learn about as much of the city as possible to then bring back to residents and be like, okay, here's, we're not going to, I always say we're not going to help. We're not going to run a food pantry, but we can show you five different food pantries in the area that you can go to. So we're trying to find as many of those resources to let residents know. We also would just love to shout out, because we're working with the city, that there is 211 and there is a City of Milwaukee mobile action app.
Right.
And a city phone number. So all three of those you can technically call as well if you're having some immediate problems. Our website, we are listing a bunch of these services and all of the partners that we are working with. So if you just want to like peruse less, you know, emergency focus, or less immediate focus, if you're like, you know, I think I'm going to be needing some more support with childcare soon. we'll be working on listing all of those resources in the city that are related to childcare.
And so you work with partisan, nonpartisan, you work with political, you work with churches, synagogues. You pretty much take any resource and you can direct somebody to something that they want.
So we're strictly nonpartisan.
Well, I mean,
yeah, but that's our,
I just mean in terms of
our biggest thing is like if, you know, if we're promoting
you're not political.
Yes, okay. Not political, right. Not okay. Partisan. We want to get the information out there. Right. If we work with one political party, we got to work with every single political party as well. And so we want to be as straightforward as what is information to help Milwaukee citizens. Right. When it comes to a lot of that political stuff, we're specifically talking about, do you know what's on your ballot? Do you know where to go vote? Do you know if you're registered? Here's any problems you might come up and how to fix those. But other than that, yeah, any organization that's in Milwaukee that's helping people, if you don't know or if you don't are not getting a lot of traction on a program or you don't know, a lot of people don't know about your services, we want to get that word out for you and let people know that they can go to them.
So you're more about the what and not the who.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I would say showing off all the different things.
So if I come to you, you're not going to say, go to this daycare. You're going to say, here are five daycare centers.
Yeah. And we can be like, what neighborhood are you in? Yeah. These are close by. We can say, you know, these are ones that we have worked with.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of our partners, we're building relationships with them, just as our team of five. So there's going to be, we can say, you know, like, oh, Lakhouza on the south side is doing really great work with their 24/7 childcare program. Like, we know them, we've worked with them. We know that they're a good person to turn to, something like that.
So then what's been your toughest nut to crack?
Like a topic, like a issue in Milwaukee?
Just you. Like, we're 1MKE and we've done all these things. We've got all these resources, but that.
Yeah. I'd say one of the biggest things right now is just how new we are, which is really exciting because there's so many opportunities. And so it's just figuring out what should we be doing that will best help people get more involved. I think another big issue that we're facing is, I was just talking about this with your team too, about how siloed Milwaukee can be. A lot of people.
That's a new word for it.
a lot of people like their community. They like their group.
Right.
And they, and that can be government likes their group, nonprofits like their group, residents like their group. Right. They don't always want to go out of that group and learn more information or tell people about information they're providing. And sometimes they are trying to do that and they just don't know how to get out of their silo. They don't know how to tell more than the 10 people who are actively following them about this new service they're providing or this new program that they can take advantage of. So that's kind of like a bigger overarching problem that I've been seeing.
Okay.
That I think we're really trying to, as 1MKE, be the space that people can go to talk about these resources, to find out this information, and to, you know, we want to be that space where the professionals can really talk about it.
It sounds like you're that space, but you're also the bridge as well, because the organizations can go from organization to organization.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big thing we've been doing too.
So then what can people do to help you? Like, do you take donations or do you take volunteers or how's that work?
Yeah, volunteers. We're always taking volunteers. Not as much now because summertime is event time and program time, but still throughout the year we are going out, we're tabling, we're talking to residents, and volunteers help so much with doing that. Especially next year, there's going to be 4 elections in the city, one in February, one in April, one in August, and one in November, I believe. And so we're going to need some help getting help, like some volunteers telling people about all of these elections that are going on. Though that's a really huge thing. But I think the other thing is really just to follow along with us, share information with people, talk to family and friends, follow us on social media, connect with our newsletter, and tell us if you see us out in the community, tell us what issues you've been seeing. What ways do you think we could be helping more? We're really based on that community feedback. And so as much of that as possible, we'd love.
Okay. So you've been doing this for how long?
About a year and a half.
All right. So it's a year and a half. So that's 24. It's 2033. It's been 10 years, and 1MKE's been here for 10 years. What do you want it to look like?
So a big kind of lofty goal that is ever moving. We'll see if it ends up being one of our top goals still. But I would love to see an office of civic engagement in the city of Milwaukee.
Okay.
Other cities, big cities have this, and they're doing a lot of the work that we're doing of running engaging events and programming to get residents more involved, making things really clear and legible about how residents should get involved. And so I think to have that as a staple in Milwaukee would be a really huge supportive thing. And like have it be an office that's backed by the city. Would be fantastic.
I would ask you one more question, but I'm going to ask, can you hang for another segment?
Yeah.
Excellent. Mandy Day from 1MKE, who was our prior sponsor of the first and second annual Truth Summit. She'll be there November 15th. She's going to be there the entire time. She doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to interview her that day.
Oh.
Oops, I think I just told her. We're going to definitely talk to her on the radio and you know, push a lot of things that you're doing. And I think it's great. And so if you have any questions, you can go to 1MKE.org or you can call on the talk and text line, 833-212-1017. Can you take some calls if they call?
Sure. Yeah.
Answer some texts.
Why not?
We're on YouTube. We're on all that. We're on all the social media you're on.
All right.
All right. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. The countdown is not, did I say that right? The countdown? the countdown. Anyway, the countdown is on for the second annual Truth Summit happening Saturday, November 15th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Thrive on King. It's a free in-person event that brings together bold voices and sharp minds to tackle Milwaukee's biggest problems. For me, that means healthcare disparities all the way to fixing our broken education pipeline. I'll be leading the charge with experts and having real talk. You don't want to miss it. Lock in your seat right now. Go to 1017thetruthsummit.com. That's 1017thetruthsummit.com. Presented by 1MKE and Thrive on King. Speaking of 1MKE, Maddie Day is here from 1MKE. You seem to have fallen into a space where there's a significant gap in just one place to go for events, one place to go to find help, one place to go. Like I'm scrolling through your website at 1mke.org, and you've got, like, I'm not at the end yet. Like, you've got events, you've got places you want to go, you've got Civic Buzz coming up in October. You got this great thing on the 15th called the Truth Summit, and I know you're going to be talking to me that day. But what can you tell people when it really comes down to the whole reason for this, you said, is for civic engagement. What is your definition of that? Because we hear it a lot and people talk about, you know, interacting with the city, interacting with nonprofits and communities and coming together. But what does that mean for you?
Yeah, I kind of struggled with it, too, when I first started. Like, it's something you hear so often. And I feel like most people just think of civic engagement means go vote. And that's kind of the end of it.
Okay.
That's really important. Right. Definitely go vote.
But if you're going to be nonpartisan, you can't just stay stuck on
go vote. We want you to go vote. We don't care about who you vote for. We just want you to go vote. That's right. What we always say. Right. But civic engagement, we believe, should be a year-long thing. And it shouldn't just happen every 4 years during a national election. Civic engagement can mean getting closer and more connected to your community. So like we said, talking about different nonprofits, different resources that are available in the city, getting connected with those, getting to know your neighbors more and being able to look out for your neighbors, building that knowledge. So if you or your neighbors in some kind of issue, you're like, here's a bunch of places that you can go to help support them. Civic engagement is also getting connected to your local government. Which is where the voting comes in, but it shouldn't just end there. It should also be going to city budget hearings. It should be talking to your alderperson, like knowing their name, shaking their hand.
Imagine that.
Yeah, going to having them be at events or knowing where their office is. It should be going to knowing what representative is responsible for what. You know, I feel like a lot of representatives will get things that are national focused or come down on a national level, and you're talking to your local alderperson about something to do with you know, the voter rights, when they're like, my hands are tied, that's not what I do specifically. Or like, but if you have a problem with your local parks, let's talk about that, you know, with a county representative. So figuring out, just learning more about what is all going on, getting more leadership in yourself, building that confidence so you can go out and you can help others. You can help yourself as well. And then building that community, making sure you have a sense of belonging and that you care for one another. That really all falls under civic engagement.
Okay, so, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted you to stay an extra segment. And I'm going to keep you a couple more minutes. So I just moved to Milwaukee. It's
Welcome.
October 15th, 2025. I got a job at Northwestern Mutual, and now I've been working like a month, and now I'm getting settled, and I have a house, and I have a car, and I got all this stuff, but I have no idea what, like, where am I? I don't even know the name of the neighborhood I live in, right? I'm going to come to 1MKE, and you're going to tell me what.
I think some of the biggest things find out what neighborhood you're in. I think that's a big thing.
Now, in Milwaukee, why is that important?
I feel, well, a lot of people call Milwaukee a city in neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that you have a lot of pride a lot of times in your neighborhood. And the hope is that we're increasing that pride in the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we don't want to just help people try and fix a problem. We also want to help increase pride that they're proud of the neighborhood that they're from. And so I think finding out your neighborhood would also be a really big thing, because a lot of times there's Friends of the Parks organizations, there's business improvement districts, neighborhood improvement districts, neighborhood associations that you can get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
That at the very least, if you go to their website, they will have information about some have information about local grants for like the exterior of your home renovation. Some have information about the local schools and, education activities that are happening. Some will talk about different events, that there's just event-specific, neighborhood-specific events going on. All of these are a really good way to help get involved on that hyper-local level.
So what can I do about family? So it's a year later and now, you know, we've got, I forget what they call it, the sandwich generation, where I got young kids and grandma and grandpa just moved in.
Mm.
I got the in-laws and now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Can 1MKE help me find resources for something like that, or at least point me in a direction?
Yeah, like I kind of said, we want to be the one that points you in the direction to something. So we table at events. Our kind of big thing is that we're trying to get in touch with residents, but we don't want to do it in the traditional canvassing way where people go door to door and
get
talk to you.
Get another piece of mail.
Yeah. We try to go to those third spaces, a lot of concert in the parks, a lot of grocery stores, things like that, where we can meet and talk to people a little more real. And we come with binders that are like 4 inches thick, probably, that are just filled with flyers from local organizations. So we have things about senior care and senior support. We have things about applying for Medicaid. We also have things about, different preschools, after school camps, summer camps. Whether it's like a financial thing that you want support on,
right,
whether it's what do I do with all these people in my house now? Like, where do they go? How can they be entertained? We want to try and provide events and programs and things like that. But like I said, it's really just telling people about what already exists. That's our biggest thing.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 10 years from now, I should be able to call you and you should be able to tell me where I can go
that's the hope. Yeah.
To a senior daycare somewhere.
Sure.
We're talking to Maddie Daly. She's what is your title? Like grand poobah of
program director.
She is the one at 1MKE. How's that? She's the one.
Well, that I appreciate that.
All right. At 1MKE, you can go to 1MKE.org. They will be a proud sponsor of Truth Summit. So you need to sign up. Come see Maddie. And she's going to talk. She's going to be on the radio that day. And she'll be talking about all the resources she has and things you can find.
Could I also give a quick shout out
for
a program that we're starting up? So we are going to be doing neighborhood task forces. They're going to be in 4 neighborhoods that we're working in, which is Washington Park, Washington Heights, Clark Square, and Walker's Point.
Okay.
If you're living in any of these neighborhoods, we want you to join a task force. So you will meet once a month for the first 6 months of 2026 to try and complete a project or solve a problem that will pop up in one of these 4 neighborhoods. The week before the Truth Summit.
Okay.
So you can have a full week of community engagement and empowerment. We are going to have listening sessions in each of these 4 neighborhoods where we want the community to really show out. And we want to hear from these neighbors in these 4 neighborhoods what is something they want to see. Like I said, it could be pride. It could be creating a mural. It could be a problem that they want to solve. It could be, the constraints are that we want to have it done in 6 months, and we want it to be done by neighbors, and have the idea come from neighbors as well. So if you're in any of these 4 neighborhoods, please go to 1mke.org. There's going to be a little survey. You can sign up. And please stay in touch.
So I have to come. I got to give you the idea, which means I got to give you something simple because then I have to do it.
Uh-huh.
Wow. If someone wants to make a donation, how do they do that?
So we're not accepting donations right now, actually.
Okay.
I think we're going to get that up on our website soon. We would love to have more donations. But I think the biggest thing would probably be reach out to the Milwaukee Public Library. They work with us a lot. If you'd like to give a donation, they are a great organization to give a donation to.
So I can go to the Milwaukee Public Library Foundation and then say, I want this to go to 1MKE for their resource work and their
I believe so.
Community work.
Yes.
Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Maddie Daly, she is the program director for 1MKE. You'll see her on Saturday, November 15th, and you'll hear her Saturday, November 15th, because she will be on the radio. She don't know that yet, but she's going to be on the radio with me. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This is a great time.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
How do I say
you're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. Mao asks, what's the purpose of the task force? So the task force is going to come together with those four neighborhoods and kind of vet what the ideas are and come up with a plan and come up with somebody in each neighborhood that wins and all that stuff. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Calling all Black-owned business owners and entrepreneurs, you're looking to share your story and grow your reach just like Maddie Daly just did. We have teamed up with Associated Bank for our Black-owned business give back, and each quarter four lucky business owners will win an opportunity to spotlight their brand and journey on the award-winning 1017 The Truth. To sign up for your business spotlight interview, visit blackbusinessgiveback.com. That's blackbusinessgiveback.com. Let's rebuild our community's backbone through exposure right here on 1017 The Truth. For official rules, because you know we got rules, head to blackbusinessgiveback.com. That's blackbusinessgiveback.com. There it is. We want to say thank you to Mao, the elephant, and Sincere, Ronnie Ray Real, and Kwanda, and not really a city girl, Babar. I saw Fonz over there. Yeah, Fonz, we talked about that on yesterday, the shooting on 49th and Mill, and kind of went through all that. Let's see who else is here. There's a lot of y'all here. DD is here. SC is here. Oh, my goodness. Y'all having a party up in here. And didn't even invite me. Willie's here. Dimitri. Everybody up in here. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. It's the analysis tonight. The analysis is coming up at 6 o'clock. And then after that, you will have the Tory Lowe Show and rebroadcast for the entire broadcast day all the way. I don't know. Tory Lowe. Tory Lowe's coming up next. Not the analysis. I think they're doing a special thing, so I got to be quiet. It's a super secret thing, so they're doing some stuff. Just hang around. They'll be back. I will see you in 22 hours. Hey, y'all, God bless. Take care. Glenn, appreciate you. So I'll be quiet. I'm out.